Hi, everyone. I'm Abby Berger. Welcome to Let's Rethink This. Today, we are talking with Angelo Blanchard, Katie Hayes, and Paula Heller. Katie is the outreach coordinator at Stages St. Louis. If you've not heard of Stages, it's a local theater that is committed to preserving and advancing the art form of musical theater through excellence in performance and education. Paula is a licensed professional counselor and registered drama therapist who works with individuals, couples, and families, and leads drama therapy groups. Angelo is a member at Independence Center, and along with his outreach work for Independence Center, also participates in the IC Players, the Clubhouse's acting group. We're gonna be talking about how the arts, and in particular, performance art, can support better mental health in our community. So welcome, Paula, Katie, and Angelo. Thank you all for being on the show today.
Thank you.
I want to start off by learning a little bit more about each of you. So Katie, do you want to kick us off and share a little bit more about your background and your current role as the outreach coordinator at Stages?
Absolutely. I'll start at the beginning. I grew up in Southern California. As a performer, I performed in many regional theaters. I worked for Disney Entertainment Arts for over 10 years, performing in parades and live stage shows at Tokyo Disneyland, Disney in Madrid in Spain. I also was a cheerleader for the Los Angeles Rams. That was back in the 80s. And knowing that musical theater was my real love, I made my way to New York City after performing on cruise ships and saving money. I performed in a couple off-Broadway productions in New York City and musical theater workshops. I did some national tours. I had a little stint on Guiding Light for a couple of years. I then landed a show in Chicago, South Pacific, where I met my now ex-husband. We married and had kids and moved down here to St. Louis for his job. And this is where he was from and his family was. I was always very fond of Stages St. Louis. And so with two little ones and in need of a part-time job, I knocked on their door about 12 years ago. I became a teaching artist for preschool through 18 years of age, and musical theater and dance. But most importantly, I was introduced to our Access the Arts program for students who had special needs and abilities of all ages. I studied under our ATA, we call it, teachers at that time, doing research on my own. The director introduced me to Touchpoint Services, Independence Center, Pujols Foundation, St. Louis Down Syndrome Association. We just had a big need for that here at our academy as well. We've moved that all to inclusive programming for our younger students that are up to the, well, not our younger students, but we do have adults up to the age of 26 who attend our programs here at our academy in Chesterfield. We do 2 to 3 productions a year for them, which is similar to Variety Club on a lower scale level. We have a great time doing that. We have many different, and so that became my love, is to be a part of our Access the Arts programs and working and partnering with different organizations in the community so that our adults or teenagers or young kids or just the whole community in itself would have chances and opportunities to perform and get in touch with their artistic side and be a part of drama and where they could think outside of the box or they can reenact and it actually access therapy, which is where Miss Paula Heller will come in and explain about how she transitioned from theater and into drama therapy.
So Paula, I'll let you pick it up from there and kind of share your story too. It sounds like maybe there's some similar backgrounds between you and Katie.
Well, a little bit. I think we have a similar background in the love of theater, like for our entire lives. And I really enjoy, you know, working in the educational part of theater as well as performance. I've probably done more educational to balance with Katie's many experiences on stage and, you know, all the stuff that she just shared with, which I find amazing and fun. So I born and raised in St. Louis. So I'm a St. Louisan forever. And I grew up doing theater. I was a theater major in college. I have a master's degree in theater directing. I ran a theater program at Melville High School in South County for about 27 years. I taught a few other places before that, but that was my longest. For the past 7 years, I retired from teaching and I discovered there was this thing called drama therapy. I was actually putting a little handbook together for working with disability and in theater and met a woman named Sally Bailey in Kansas who works with, she's named Barrier Free Theater, which is a disability theater for adults. And through her, I met the whole drama therapy association pretty much. I ended up on their board and all sorts of things. It's not a big thing in the middle of the country yet in New York, in New Jersey, and even out in California, and even up in Canada. It's huge. It's a worldwide organization, the North America Drama Therapy Association, which I'll talk more about later. I loved it. So I of course was going to be a drama therapist in my retirement years. And I did work with a lot of populations around the St. Louis area. I worked briefly with prison performing arts, going out into the prisons. I worked with people battling addiction at Queen of Peace Center in St. Louis. I did disability theater. I directed at the Jewish Community Center, a disability theater show, and also their youth theater. I directed musicals and a little Shakespeare for whatever reason. It's such a musical language. For the past 3 years, I've really been focusing on my private practice as a therapist. I went back to school, got a second master's degree to be a therapist, and of course got my RDT, which is a registered drama therapist. And so the last 3 years, I've really been trying to work, with whoever wants me to do drama therapy groups and within the community. I've done a few. I've done a few trainings on drama therapy, and I've been working at Independence Center, I think, for almost 3 years now. Katie might have to confirm that. And we of course got hit by the pandemic, and so it's been like everybody else in theater, learning how to do things online and however we can do things to keep people safe. So most recently, this led to a project where I was asked to present a play that we worked on over the pandemic with IC Players, and was asked to sort of present that at the North American Drama Therapy Association conference. And so we're looking forward to sharing that whole project, you know, because it's not just the performance, it's the journey, you know, to the performance. And so I'm excited to be here, and I get to work with great people like Angelo. That'll be my segue, so you can talk to Angelo, I guess.
Yeah.
And all of the participants that love theater at Independence Center.
Yeah, it's it is pretty neat to see the whole process of performance, because it's not just what happens on the stage. It's a lot of the relationships that are built, the practice, there's a lot that goes into it. So Angelo, you're a member at Independence Center. You've been a member for quite some time. How did you first get introduced to Independence Center? And then, you know, how did you get involved in the IC Players?
Okay. It started back in 1985. I think my psychiatrist at the time was out of town, and he had a psychiatrist cover for him. And that psychiatrist who covered for him introduced me to Independent Center, which I didn't think I would fit, but I had been hospitalized so many times, and I didn't have much going on, so I said, I'll check it out. And I went to Independent Center, and it fit. I took a transitional employment. Well, I was kind of ambitious. I kind of wanted to work and get back into the workforce. So I took on a TE, transitional employment position at Blue Cross Blue Shield, and worked there for 6 months. And then I took another one and worked there. And fortunately, through Karen Dalnick, I was able to get a job, an independent employment job, IE position, with Dalnick Furniture, which was a full-time job. And I was able to hold it for 25 years. So that was my major accomplishment as far as Independent Center is concerned. And after 25 years, they had gone out of business. So I went to driving for FedEx, and I was home delivery person for FedEx for about a year and a half. And then I kind of backslid a little bit, and I went on disability. And but I didn't want to stay on disability. At the time, that was the only thing I could do. So I was on disability, but I came back. Since I wasn't working, I was able to get introduced into the mainstream of Independent Center again, because my time was open. And at that point, I saw a play that they put on at the Independent Center with Richard Cohen and some other actors. And I just thought that might be something I might be interested in. So I checked it out, and I talked to Richard, and they wanted to put on a play of Raisin in the Sun. And I did that. And the rest is history. I just continued to be part of I See Play.
That's awesome. I love that you just saw a play and were inspired to get involved. I think, if you enjoy theater, if you enjoy going to shows, they are very inspirational. I grew up going to Stages St. Louis a lot with my grandparents. Katie, can you tell us a little bit more about Stages, like maybe the history of how Stages St. Louis came to be and what you focus on now as a community theater in the St. Louis community?
We started as a very small theater in a basement 35 years ago. Jack Lane and Michael Hamilton had this vision of creating a professional theater here in the St. Louis area, bringing Broadway productions to Broadway professional productions here to St. Louis. The theater started 35 years ago. The Academy portion of it started 17 years ago. Stages is committed to preserving and advancing the art form of musical theater through excellence and performance and in education. We have a lot of exciting things happening right now. We've grown from such a small company to a vast company bridging Broadway right here to St. Louis. We have The Karate Kid, the musical that is actually trying out for the first time in the Midwest. So that's super exciting. Basically, we try to employ the best musical theater artists available, whether it be regional or nationally. We have a great connection with New York City, and a lot of our producer for Stages is also a producer on several productions in New York. We have a further commitment to support professional St. Louis actors. We are probably the top regional employer of local union actors. And we educate thousands and thousands of students with all abilities each year at our Performing Arts Academy and in our outreach programs. we have, I mean, our core values are really holding ourselves to the highest standards in excellence, creating art enthusiasts through active participation in education. We are constantly growing our programming in the community with arts and getting our community involved, because there's a lot of members within the community that have never been to a live production. And then, of course, with diversity, we providing arts access to traditionally underserved communities as well. Talk about diversity and equity and inclusion. We try to strive to cultivate an inclusive environment which welcomes differences of ethnicity, religion, sexuality, income, or any other divisions with generosity and openness. We provide a lot of scholarships for our students. We do have funding for our programs like Independent Center and some of our other programming, so that we are able to hire top quality professional teaching artists like Ms. Paula Heller and Angelo, who you might have worked with, Miss Julie Creekhouse, in the past. And so we just, I think through support and understanding of our differences, we're able to recognize commonalities in the arts. We're a non-for-profit company, basically preserving and advancing the art form of musical theater. And we're just excited to see where we're going to go as a company after, especially after coming out of a year and a half of this pandemic. We're actually we're having live in-person shows right now, and we just hope to build upon our performances. And we have a brand new Kirkwood Performing Arts Center located in the middle of Kirkwood that is absolutely gorgeous. And our academy is growing. And like I said, our outreach programs just keep striving forward. And we are so fortunate to be partners with the Independent Center.
Yeah, I think you guys do a ton for the community. And it's really cool to see accessibility being kind of an hallmark of your programming, that you're willing to take it out to the community, that you're willing to reach out to these communities and groups of people that may have never experienced a live show before. Can you talk a little bit more about that? Like, do you know what the driving force was in terms of creating more accessibility for theater in the community, or, you know, maybe why that was so important to Stage of St. Louis?
I believe it was really important to create those art enthusiasts from all genres and areas. And we became such a digital society, and, you know, leaning towards movies and videos and what have you. But I think it was so important to families and communities for them to be able to engage in the live arts, and how that brought a different level of knowledge to them and appreciation. And I really feel that it was important for those communities, like I said, that were underserved and not able to afford to see a live performance, or have their kid, or the schools that were not able to provide an arts programming in theater because of funding. It was important to some of our larger funders too, to be able to get that arts back into the community and make it accessible for all. And so that's always been a primary focus for us, is reaching out to our partners and seeing how we can tailor a program to help them and their communities, what would be the best programming for them.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of benefits to seeing a show, to learning how to perform in a show, to building a relationship with a castmate or producer or director, whoever is around you, kind of building those relationships. So Paula, I'm curious, you're a licensed professional counselor and a lead, and you lead these drama therapy groups. So first, can you tell us just a little bit more about what is drama therapy?
Oh, yes. I'm actually going to read, because I want you to hear, there is a North American drama therapy site, and they have a very specific definition. And so, yes, I'm cheating and reading. So drama therapy, according to the North American Drama Therapy Association, is an embodied practice that is active and experiential. This approach can provide the context for participants to tell their stories, set goals, and solve problems, express feelings, or achieve catharsis. Through drama, the depth and breadth of inner experience can be actively explored, and interpersonal relationship skills can be enhanced. So I think what that means for, number one, is that's what Stages does in all of their education and outreach, right? They're trying to help people work through feelings, connect to community, connect through characters and plots and stories and all of that. Specifically at Independence Center, I think the collaboration with a real professional theater is using like improvisation games as tools to sort of stimulate spontaneity, to build life skills, which is a big goal of Independence Center, and for just to give people a voice and a space for people specifically struggling with chronic mental health issues.
So Angelo, it sounds like IC Players is really focused on bringing together our members to learn how to perform shows. Can you tell us a little bit about the IC Players?
What Paula explained just a few minutes ago is exactly what happened in the IC Players. At least for me, I find that to be true. And self-confidence and expression, you know, you get like a monotone expression sometimes and you don't connect emotionally. And it helps you to bring all that type of things to the surface and, you know, become a better person.
I wouldn't have even thought about your tone of voice or needing to connect with somebody on an emotional level as a part of performing, which of course, now that I'm saying it out loud, it makes total sense, but that's, I guess it just didn't come to mind at first. So that's kind of cool that that's part of the conversation in your acting group.
And Angela, if I could tag on for just a second, I know Angela's experienced this too, so you can speak to it, but when we were more in person, we did a group of scenes about relationships, and then we tagged on to that, you know, like questions in between the scenes about, oh, marriage relationships or roommate relationships or doctor relationships, siblings, whatever. And the actors were able to use a technique called playback theater where the audience could express, oh yeah, you know, I can't remember what they all were. It was a while back, but they can express how they were feeling about, oh yeah, my mother always interferes or whatever. And then it'd be like, okay, Angelo, show us what that looks like. And so the actors, through embodying that and sharing that with the audience as almost a gift, you know, distance all of that, what Angela was talking about, it sort of distances that from maybe your own personal experience enough so that you can look at it and sort of grapple with whatever that means to an individual.
Yeah, very well said.
Angela's very good at that, by the way.
Well, it sounds like this has been really beneficial for the participants and the director. And you're right, it does give you a little bit of distance and perspective on different scenarios that could play out in someone's life. So, Katie, as somebody with a lot of acting experience, how has learning new roles shaped your perception of others with different life experiences than you've had?
I think it opens up a bunch of different doors in as far as, you know, you don't live in that other person's shoes. And if I'm developing a character, I need to learn the background of that person from where they came from or their relationships with the other characters that are in the show, or their personal relationships on why this character is that way. So thinking outside of the box, if I were to portray the role of Angelo, to sit there and talk with him and see where, you know, he came from or how he was raised, or you know, what his feelings are from morning to night, and to embody all of that. I think as an individual, I wish we all as humans could live for a moment in somebody else's shoes. So it teaches you empathy, and it lets you experience what others are experiencing, which you may not have ever had access to. Or I think that's one thing I became so involved with our Access the Arts program, is because I got to see, you know, the brain is so complicated, right? And it was very interesting to see how the arts brought everybody together, whether you were typically developing or whether you had special abilities or needs or just some mental blocks. I'm learning this now, how it has really changed me is that I have a 13 and a 15-year-old right now. And it helps me live in their shoes, you know, what they're experiencing. But I think to have empathy for that other person, you know, that we're all in the arts, I feel like we're all like a family, and to have that love for one another is huge. It's a lot of work studying another character and becoming another character. And again, you'll never ever walk in that person's shoes, but at least you can have that understanding.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds like it's such a good way to experience another person's life or another walk of life. And so, Paula, I want to know, do you have to be a good actor to benefit from drama therapy? Like, what if somebody's never acted before, or they have never seen a play? You know, is it just the experience of participating that elicits the benefits, or do you really kind of have to have a natural knack for it?
No, you know, I don't really know. People say people are talented, and some people obviously are at a certain talent level and they become movie stars or big stage stars or whatever, but I don't think any of that is necessary to do theater. I think, and this kind of almost builds on what Katie was sharing a little bit, I think acting is really about noticing. You know, I think of Shakespeare, Much Ado About Nothing, and that word comes from noting. You know, I think that when people act, whether it ends up, you don't even have to do a performance for drama therapy. I work with many groups, and sure, we're acting within the group and exploring different roles and parts of ourselves and stuff, but it doesn't have to be a performance for an outside audience. It can just be for us, because you're really just noticing what's going on in you, noticing what's going on around you, noticing the other that is in the scene with you. And so there is absolutely no talent. I think the only thing you need to participate in drama therapy is just, you know, the wanting to be there, you know, just it's fun. And we know that play itself changes. And I saw that when I taught, you know, high school kids, I could see them from freshman to senior year. They weren't all going to go into theater, certainly. Hardly any of them went into theater, you know, but it made them better accountants. It made them a better nurse. It made them a better, because they learned how to really, you know, observe the three things of concentration, observation, and imagination. You know, it made them use their imaginations, observe, and it helps you focus and concentrate, which helps no matter what you do. And we, since this is going out to IC, I do want to encourage people that theater, you do that not just through performance, you do that through helping us tape, you do that through gathering costumes, props, putting programs together, you do that through every part of theater.
There's so many pieces that bring a show together, and it's not just the actors on the stage. There are a lot of people in the background, writing scripts, you know, doing the light, doing the sound. There's a ton to it. So that's a good point that you've made. And Angelo, I'm wanting to know, just kind of from your perspective, how has participating in the IC Players benefited you?
Personally, I just think it's just made me a more well-rounded person. The experience of working with the people at Independence Center, the members, who I think are the greatest people in the world, that camaraderie just makes me feel good, and it helps me as far as reading is concerned. I wasn't an avid reader, but I knew that I kind of wanted to read, but it was kind of difficult sometimes. But now my reading is better, and I just feel like a better person.
That's very cool, Angelo. And, you know, I can see how it's benefited you. I think when people first meet you, or when I first met you, which is probably about 4 years ago, you were a little bit quieter. And now participating in IC Players, I think you're a little bit more outgoing. And so I've seen that change over time with you. So it's cool to see or hear what you have to say about your experience too. I want to ask one final question of all of you, and it's kind of related to performance, but more just about mental health. And it is, if you could debunk one myth about mental illness, about working with people with mental illness, Paula and Katie, what would it be? What would you say to that?
I think my pet peeve is that you need to be fixed. That there's nothing wrong with anybody, whether it's autism, whether it's a bipolar disorder or schizophrenia, whatever. That is how your brain works because of maybe experiences or whatever, you know, it can be medical sometimes, whatever. And I think that, and this relates to drama therapy and drama in general, yes, and okay, that's the way your brain works. And that's okay. You don't need to be fixed. You just need to learn how to use that so that you can live the life that you want to live.
I absolutely agree with what Paula has said. You know, I want to debunk the myth that because you may have a mental illness, whether because of experiences or whatever the reason is, that the myth is that if you have a mental illness or a disability or special needs, that you won't be as good, or you won't be able to be in a production, or you won't be able to do drama, or I feel like there's a block right there, but it's not true. I've seen it time and time again. I have been at the IC Players doing Shakespeare for Shake 38 several years ago, and I was in tears with the memorization skills that happened, with, like Angelo said, the reading skills became better. You know, when we do musicals, I see it all the time, and the kids that can't speak or get their thoughts across, they sure can when they're singing. And it's very interesting to know that there are some thought process out there that just because you have a mental illness or a special ability, that you can't do something that a typically developing person can do.
I think it's like, if you have a mental illness, I find it's like, normally people will kind of step into themselves and just kind of naturally grow and that kind of thing, grow normally. But a mental illness person has a mind that's a little different. And don't just grow into it sometimes. Sometimes you have to do certain things or tweak certain things to make, you know, to be able to use your mind.
Yeah, I think it's all about adaptability and learning how to navigate your world, whatever that world looks like to you.
Can I say one more thing? Mm-hmm. I'm just after what Angelo said, Angelo, you made me think of our current project that we're working on, you know, the journey towards recovery. And I think what's important about that is that we are all in recovery from something. We're in recovery because we've lost somebody. We're in recovery because we changed jobs. We're in recovery, you know, because we've had surgery. We're in recovery because, I don't know, we're insecure. We're all in recovery over something. And I think that's the message in this current project. And Angelo can tell me if I'm wrong, that we're trying to get through and that it's process.
Yeah, thank you for putting that last little tidbit on there. I definitely think the process is the biggest part of the project, right? Always. It's always about the process. Well, I just want to say thank you, you know, all of you for taking the time to be on today's episode and sharing about the work that you're doing. If anyone listening wants to learn more about Stages St. Louis, click the link in the show notes. Stages will be kicking off their second show of the season, Jersey Boys, on September 24th, and it'll run through October 24th. So if you want tickets to the show, we'll link the box office phone number in the show notes. If you want to learn more about drama therapy and the work that Paula does, click the link for the North American Drama Therapy Association. That's in the show notes. You can find both of these women on LinkedIn if you'd like to connect further. If you yourself are struggling with a mental illness or a substance use disorder, if you want to learn more about IC Players and the work that Independent Center is doing, please visit our website. It's www.independentcenter.org for a list of local and national resources. We will talk with you all next week. Thanks for tuning in.
Thank you.